Alright everyone, we are back. Reiser was set to rest this morning and George wants to call in a witness who's not on the witness list. Huh? Anne? The judge lost his patience and called them up. They've been talking for about 10 minutes. Cole, maybe we'll get another day off while they... You're cut off as the two attorneys abruptly return to their seats and the judge clears his throat. In light of yesterday's evidentiary oversight, I'm inclined to allow your witness, Mr. Werthwaite. I'd admonish counsel to understand, however, that my patience for good cause exceptions has limits. Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to call Sebastian Mendez as my first witness. You watch curiously as a man you've never seen before enters the courtroom. Jay just looks at you in confusion. After being sworn in, Sebastian glowers angrily at his two former attorneys. Would you please state your name for the record and your relationship to the plaintiff? Sebastian Mendez, senior partner at Mendez, Turner, and Hooch. The former employer of both members of opposing counsel, correct? Yes, they were junior partners. Was Mendez, Turner, and Hooch the original firm bringing this case? Yes. And did their duties at the firm directly relate to this case? Yes. Why is your firm no longer representing the plaintiff in this matter? We fired the client when it became apparent that We fired the client when it became apparent that representing them demanded more flexible ethics than my firm could reconcile with their risk profile. Can you describe a specific example of this ethical flexibility? Objection! Opinion, Your Honor! Overruled. But the witness is cautioned to be succinct if invoking the attorney-client fraud clause. A specific example, please. The firm was pressured to place informants within the respondent's staff through its hiring process. You hear an audible sigh of relief from one of the Prizer attorneys while George looks confused. And did the firm act on this request from their client? Yes, my nephew was hired into the Polygene Biotech mailroom with instructions to that end. Is there a reason you rather than he is testifying today? Yes, my nephew was murdered on assignment by our client's hired muscle. Do you know why? Yes, my nephew was in possession of information detrimental to our client's legal claims. Is there evidence you could provide that would support that claim? His name was Vincent Russo. He died attempting the murder of the respondent's current owners. I said succinct, counsel. Of course, Your Honor. What information did your nephew possess that put his life at risk? A list of documents the firm had been pressured to exclude from discovery for this case. Why would the plaintiff feel threatened by that? For the first time, Sebastian appears rattled and almost haunted. He had developed doubts and intended to share that information with the respondents. Was he successful? Yes, via a proxy. He provided the documents to Mallory Chapman of the New England Globe. And to clarify, this was a list of documents your client wanted excluded from the discovery process. It also contained proprietary research data for ovuline obtained by informants at Polygene. Did you view this data personally? Yes, I did. Which specific proprietary research data did you see with your own eyes? The chemical formula for ovuline. My firm's lab comparison with the Prizer patent revealed no similarities. In that moment, your fascination turns into complete shock. Did Christian's uncle just nuke these bastards from orbit? How did you reconcile that with yesterday's testimony, which shows a perfect match today somehow? I can't. I can only say the chemical fingerprints did not match when the case was with my firm. A glance over at Jay reveals her own disbelief, and you only dimly register excited chatter around you. No further questions, Your Honor. Your witness. You and Jay excitedly catch up with George outside the courtroom. I thought we were cooked! I'm no lawyer, but I'd say that just blew the wheels off their case. We still have the patent issue. A lot can still happen, so don't get too cocky. So what now? We wait to find out what happened with Prizer's patent filing. Where do we even begin with that? Why not start with a dirty, yacht-loving senator with a documented interest in Prizer's stock? Unless somebody flips on her, we're just speculating. Are we back to finger-pointing? As if on cue, George's phone buzzes and he glances at its screen curiously. Oh, not so much. A moment of your time, Worthwimp? The three of you glance back at the arrival of a decidedly downcast Prizer lawyer. Let me twist the knife a little, kids. I'll call you two after I hear him out. Jay impulsively kisses George on the cheek to his pleasant surprise. Just so you know, we never doubted you. Yeah, what she said. Trial day 4. You arrive at the courthouse late again and are surprised to find George waiting for you. Sorry I'm late, George. Didn't sleep well. You haven't missed anything yet. The judge called a recess until Monday. Why, what's going on? We have a surprise meeting with U.S. Deputy A.G. in 10 minutes. Let's find out together, shall we? What would he have to do with us? Isn't this a civil case? You know as much as I do. Nobody's talking. Where's Jay? I sent her to collect Amanda. Amanda, what does she have to do with this? George looks at you flatly and you sigh. I know as much as you do. Precisely. You arrive at a conference room currently occupied by Lisa and two men in suits. The older of the two and the one clearly in charge stands and offers his hand to George. Oh, George Worthwin, Deputy A.G. Tom Reynolds. I've heard good things. Pleasure to meet you, Tom. To say you have our attention would be an understatement. And who is this? The younger man to A.G.'s right stirs as if to speak, but gets cut off. We'll get to that. And you must be Grim Campbell. Yeah. Nice to meet you, Mr. Reynolds. Likewise. We're just waiting on one more, and then we can get started. George interrupts your immediate question with a cautionary glance. I guess we'll just have a seat until then. This does give us a moment to speak off the record. We're all ears. You're probably wondering why I'm here with so much else going on in D.C. at the moment. Truth be told, much of it is connected to folks sitting in this very room. I don't know what you're implying. Yes, you do, George. Let's cut through the bullshit. My time is precious. By all means, cut away. This ends today. If this market scandal grows worse, it will plunge our economy off a cliff. Nobody in this room has any interest in seeing that happen, Mr. Reynolds. Maybe not intentionally, but your FOIA requests with the patent office have left us in a pickle. You understand that those records could have only been altered with help from the inside. And now you see the pickle. So you're asking us to drop the matter? Good morning, gentlemen. What's this all about? U.S. Deputy A.G. Tom Reynolds. Jamie Cox, I presume. The lawyer seems to be trying to find his footing, but you can see he's uneasy at this turn of events. You're well informed, sir, with due respect. Why am I here, or you, for that matter? I'm here to tell you that you're settling your case against Poly G. And why would I do that? Look, my partner should be here shortly. Because if you don't, your client's connection to a disgraced senator will become central to your case. I don't know what you're implying. That was the stick. Want to hear the carrot? The lawyer sits down heavily and looks skeptically at the politician. Why not? Prizer drops the lawsuit and recalls Pregnia citing diminished questionable efficacy and broader testing. That isn't sounding like much of a carrot. Polygene will abandon fertility treatments as part of the settlement to focus on other endeavors. And why would my client agree to that? Ovuline drives Polygene's profitability. We'll get to that. Look, Tom, there's no way I can take this back to the board if the director's package is a win. Tomorrow my office will announce Roger Crenshaw has been extradited to the UK on murder charges. Yes, I see. A smart client would make him the face of Pregnia's failure and showcase new leadership. What assurances do we have that federal investigations won't shatter the company down the road? Do you think I lay awake at night picking winners and losers in corporate reindeer games? I'm here because the president wants this to go away today, not a year down the road. Make some calls. Whatever it takes. But this offer expires at noon. Well, why are you still here? Those calls aren't going to make themselves. The attorney all but leaps out of his chair and excuses himself awkwardly. Now for your carrot. It better be a much juicier fucking vegetable than what you fed to that midwit. The man sitting next to the deputy AG isn't entirely successful suppressing a chuckle. You already know what's behind door number one. Crenshaw's going down for murder. That's justice, but it doesn't pay the bills. What's behind door number two? A staggering number of federal systems have been penetrated by your associate, Amanda Cohen. Then there's the matter of a DHS vehicle rendered so stickly by an IED it had to be sold at auction. Yes, and that. Casually classifying a bottle of soda as some sort of WMD explains so much about our foreign policy. Cute. All told, Miss Cohen will sidestep prosecution on 23 felony counts. While Miss Cohen's connection to Polygene is a matter of debate, that seems generous. It's really what's behind door number three that will clarify Polygene's incentive to respecialize. Oh, this should be good. DARPA wishes to offer Polygene a contract. Huh? DARPA? To do what specifically? The answer to that will be provided by my silent partner here. Let's call him William. As a technology lead for the agency, he's far better equipped to explain the challenge ahead. Good morning, folks. Gotta say, I'm loving the vibe already. His voice seems friendly and relaxed after the easy authority of the AG. My team has been working on a national security effort and lack certain expertise in-house. DARPA's looking to bring in fresh eyes and enthusiasm. The right fresh eyes. Polygene's values are laser-focused on improving and saving lives, not finding new ways to kill people. Oh, this isn't a weapons program. God, no, this is the furthest thing from it. Then what area of research could Polygene possibly contribute to DARPA on? The man pauses for a moment before lowering his voice. We are sending a mission to 16 Psyche, and your bioscience is critical path tech to get us there. It's the metallic core of a failed planet, and by far the most valuable accessible object known to man. While the world jockeys to plant their flags on Mars, we're gonna flip the whole economic chessboard. What? 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 4 months after the trial, Alpine intermission. In Aspen, Colorado. With the company drama finally in the rear view, it was time to make some life choices. Polygene's juicy new DARPA contract ensured going public with Polygene would wait. Amanda's plan to safeguard our most dangerous tech was unorthodox, but I had no better ideas. She uploaded it to a truly self-aware AI that she believed could objectively judge when humanity was ready. There was nothing left to stop Jay and I from handing off day-to-day operations to Lisa. You exhale contentedly, watching your breath billow in the thin mountain air. Today marks a line in the snow between my old life and my new one. And what better way to celebrate new beginnings than with family and fresh powder? Hey, I saw this same movie last winter. Wanna bet the sequel turns out better than the original? I wouldn't take that bet. You're both here this time, and have you seen yourselves naked? Giggling, both girls push off in tandem and hurtle down the slope like lunatics. Last one down is on oral warm-up duty. Hell yeah! Oral, eh? First one down or not, we're all gonna be winners. With a predatory grin, you launch yourself forward powerfully into the beckoning powder. It's official. I need to live in a mountain state. As fun as this is, I need my beaches. Why not both? But California. Ugh. Let's be real. Jay's gonna be a surgeon and Mal's a celebrity. That narrows things down a bit. If you want to be where the action is. Jay takes a deep breath of the crisp mountain air. You're right. It checks a lot of boxes, I guess. But California. Well, it's gonna start getting dark soon. What's our play? On one hand, hot cocoa, a fireplace, and soft bed sound amazing. You son of a bitch, I'm in! On the other hand, Grim did lug the camping gear and we could zip all of our sleeping bags together. I was gonna say rough it, but that works too. Besides, the thought of Jay on oral warm-up duty in a freezing tent just slaps. You fouled my skis, fucktard. You and I both know you lost on purpose and why. She should have made it cleanup duty instead. Huh. Just get the tent up as fast as you can. I need to pay for my loss. Poor Grim has no idea what he's just agreed to. Nope. Aw, shit, what nefarious trap did I just blindly walk into? Bring on the business end of four freezing feet. Being on the business end of four freezing feet? Objectively, the coldest objects known to man. That night. Glomp. Now I wish we'd gone back to the lodge. I can't even feel my face. Lick. Feels like we made the right call. From where I'm sitting. Slurp. Okay, that blowjob is getting me all worked up. If we were in a cozy cabin, I might have joined in. Glock. Oh, for fuck! I'm gonna come, Jay! Gulp. Lick. Oh my god, how much pineapple have you been eating? All of the pineapples. Nice shot, Grim. Now I'm cold, horny, hungry, and wet. Give me a minute, I'll grab a towel. Nope. Nobody's unwrapping my blanky burrito with barely adequate warmth until sunrise. How'd you even get in my eye? How did you even get it in my eye? Don't ask me. We're going to need new physics. Shh. Did you just hear something? I think so. All I can hear is Jay wiping her eye with my sock. Shh. As the tent goes silent, it soon becomes clear you're not alone. I'm so freaked out right now. Sounds like a wild animal. If it's a fucking bear, I'm cutting both of you out of my life and starting fresh. I'm going to take a peek. Ooh, as your eyes adjust, a recognizable shape emerges from the shadows at the edge of the fire's light. Is that a wolf? Squee! It's not just a wolf, Grim, that's Hank! There's no way, Mal. I'll never forget that pattern in his fur. He might be full grown, but that's him! The wolf sniffs the air and takes a step forward uncertainly. Abruptly, he glances towards the darkened forest, emitting a high-pitched whine. That's odd. What's he doing? Wolves see direct eye contact. It's a challenge. I think he wants us to know he's not aggressive. See, I told you, that's Hank. As Mallory chips excitedly, the wolf's tongue flops out almost comically. Hank, you're such a clown. After a final playful pant, a surreal encounter ends as the wolf lopes off into the forest. Moments later, his pack melts back into the shadows silently after him. That was so cool. And I just peed a little. You are a lot. That's a whole ass puddle. I got excited by the wolves. Jesus, Grim, did that make your dick hard? No kink shame, please, thanks. Seriously, freezy tent water sports are not included in the no kink shame pledge. I don't remember any fine print, just saying. Just hear me out. Nobody will panic if we purify this tent with fire, along with any evidence in it. But we do that to the lodge, then everyone loses their minds. He's right, you know. Congratulations. Just talking about it has me doing the pee-pee dance now. No! The next morning. After warming up from your night in the tent, you wander the lodge feeling nostalgic. You feel a moment of gratitude that Linda and Ray were able to save their marriage. I wonder who they hired to replace Ricky. After drinking your fill of memories, you begin to head back to the room. Hi, Grim. I saw your name in the guest book. Oh, hey, Linda. Everything seems to have weathered the winter well enough. Yeah, well, some things took more of a beating than others. Listen, I found you to say that I know I fucked up. Not just with Ray, but with you. I'm so sorry for that. I wanted you to know that I'm seeing a therapist now and I'm trying to change. I know it's late in the day, but thank you for setting me straight. I appreciate that. If this change of heart leads to you and Ray making a go of it, we're square. That's the plan, or to die trying. What's next for you? You smile a little nervously at her for the first time since she spoke. Oh, you know me. When the road calls, I answer. A journey of reflection. Road of remembrance. Why am I doing the bottom before the top? In the weeks that followed, I embarked on a pilgrimage of sorts, retracing my travels with David. Each stop along the way stirred memories, but at last sorrow began to yield to acceptance. This trip is a partition between a life I've lived for myself and a future I will live for others. The travels ahead will be on a road I share with the women I've bound my life to. We'll walk this path together with our own children someday, teaching them as David taught me. I promise I wouldn't be gone for more than a few weeks, but I'll make the most of them. I also promise no unnecessary risks, so I won't be doing any mountain climbing this time. Wow. Traveling the whole world. These stone monuments have outlived their creators 70-fold. When they were built, the average lifespan in the Old Kingdom was the same age I am now. They didn't drop their tools and turn their backs on greatness because they feared short lives. Instead, they embraced the idea that we live as long as the last person who remembers us. Our ancestors understood that our tomorrows are more important than our yesterdays. A perspective many of us in the modern world could learn something from. David always said, clinging to the past leaves a man with one less hand to grasp his future. Oh, that's a good quote. I like that. Or to beat it to death if it tries luring him back to bumfuck Oklahoma. Oh, fuck no, hard pass. I guess this means I've done everything I set out to do. Now to get home to the most amazing girl, the two most amazing girls on the planet, and tie the knot. Dun, 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 do you take these women again to be your lawfully wedded wives? Well, of course! Foxboro Lutheran Church, Boston, Massachusetts, 1 year later. In a failing attempt to keep chaotic emotions in check, you stare into the mirror critically. God, I hate dressing up. I look like a fucking chud. Ugh, Kyle, I'll be out in a minute. Alright, coming. Your annoyance turns to shock as a familiar face greets you. Mosh, what are you doing here? You know how it is. I was craving a lobster roll, saw a crowd, figured I'd see what's up. You're in a tux, Mosh. Fine, fine. Kyle and I might have mutually agreed on swapping out as your best man. Wait, he pawned the job off on you? On the contrary, if I didn't do this on David's behalf, he would smite me from the afterlife. The last time you'd seen Mosh was upon taking ownership of his villa in Sicily. You barely choke back a flood of emotion as the memory of your shared grief rushes back. Wow, Mosh, it means everything for you to be here today. On David's behalf. He wouldn't have it any other way, and neither would I. Did that slacker Kyle at least give you the ring? Mosh pats his pocket in panic. Shit, I don't remember him handing it to me. Smirking devilishly, he holds up the jewelry box he'd been palming since you opened the door. Oh, now you got jokes. Please, you'll probably end up growing up before I do, kid. Any more surprises I need to be aware of before I head on out there? I've heard the bride looks incredibly beautiful. A real Rose of Sharon. Oh, that is a great Killswitch Engage song. That's every day, though. I believe it. Oh, and it's probably nothing. But we may have a wedding crasher. There's another redhead out there who claims to have RSVP'd, but we can't find her on the list. Huh, did she give a name? Frankie? I don't know any redheads by that name. Faye? Francesca, maybe? No, I got nothing. Never mind. Let's just get out here and do this. Right behind you, Grim. And Mosh, thanks. This really means the world to me. Enough, thanks. It's an honor to stand at the side of David's best friend on the biggest of big days. Fiona! Wait. What? You wait at the dais every bit as nervously as every other groom in the history of history. Well, Mom and Dad, today's the day you saw ahead of us long before either of us did. The crowd doesn't quite manage to stay silent as the music ending heralds the arrival of the bride. This is surreal. On one hand, I never thought this could be possible. Your breath catches as Jay steps into view on George's arm. But on the other, I don't know how this could have ended any other way. Smiling radiantly and resplendent in her dress, Jay has never looked more beautiful. You feel your mouth go dry as they approach the gazebo. Jay's face is a study in barely contained excitement as her eyes seek out yours. She's been waiting her whole life for this moment. At last, she stands before you, radiant as an angel, as her light perfume dances in the air. Today we are gathered to celebrate Grim and Jay in a covenant of love. While aware of the ceremony, it feels distant as a bump of intimacy envelops you and your bride. The verdant green of her eyes, bright with joy, reminds you of that very first meeting as children. Grim, will you have Jay to be your wife to live together in this covenant of love? Will you love her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health for as long as you both shall live? I will. Jay's eyes glow as you slide the ring your father gave you onto her slender figure. The priest's voice drones on into obscurity once again until Jay's voice rings clear. I will. Even immersed in raucous applause, the only thing you hear as you kiss Jay is your own heartbeat. At the reception. Knowing well your limitations on the dance floor, Jay's music choice for the first dance was merciful. So, now it's official. You led me to believe you're a much worse dancer than this. I may have heard this song before. Fine, keep your secrets. So, here we are. I always felt like tonight would happen at some level. Always, huh? Well, doubt crept in occasionally. We both just had to get out of our own way. I'm surprised there wasn't more drama over our family ties. Better they gossip about that than the fact that we're polyamorous, I suppose. Jay's eyes quickly find Mallory deep in conversation with a woman she doesn't recognize. That is Fiona. As if sensing Jay's eyes on her, Mallory glances up from her animated conversation. Smiling wickedly, Mallory points at you and then glances back at Jay expectantly. It's clear the brunette is bored with the party and anxious to retire to the honeymoon suite. She's out of line, but she's right. But who's Mal even talking to, I wonder? Another ginger that isn't Sophie. Mosh mentioned we might have a wedding crasher. Seriously? Fiona. Jay's face betrays complete confusion for a moment until the light suddenly switches on. Wait, the Fiona from your journal? I swear to God, I don't know any other Fionas. God damn it. If you want, I can ask her to leave. Nah, we'll just roll with it. Really? Just like that? Don't judge me, but just knowing she's here gave me the weirdest sploosh. And on that slippery note, what a bounce? Because I sure do. And yes, I do mean that in the absolute naughtiest of all possible contexts. As absolutely stunning as you are in that dress, I really can't wait to see it on the floor. Huh, keep topping like that and it might end up on this floor. Find us an opening. What do I have to work with here? Bianca's watching us like she's making a home movie in her head. And George looks like he's about to propose a toast. Fuck me, cock-blocked at my own wedding. Your horny bride anxiously and very moistly awaits the details of your devious plan. Come on, Grim, what you gonna do? Modern problems require modern solutions. Boy, he has used every meme. This guy's a genius. So what do you need me to do? When George raises his toast, discreetly get some champagne. Kill the lights and pull the fire alarm. Goodness gracious me, you and I are going to spend our lives together in so much trouble. Take me away. Okay, now, make quick like Bunny. Grim, I'm literally in heels in the Stay Puffed wedding dress. That's so fucking hot. I'll never be able to watch a fireman's carry without soaking my panties again. Mal, Mexico, Omaha, hut! Wait for me! Wait, did you just call an audible? He booty called an audible more like. No fair, I'm wearing heels too. Carry me! He can't carry both of us. Please, a real man can carry two hotties away from a fire. Squee! French Polynesia. I've heard it's nice. Bora Bora. French Polynesia. 2-year J anniversary. After an intense day of surfing, you and Mallory bob lazily in the Pacific side by side on your boards. I've had a lot of amazing days lately, but this might be the best so far. For sure, though it sucks that Jay got stuck at that symposium on our anniversary. I really miss her. But I also cherish our alone time. I never want this to end. For us to end. I know it's hard to believe, but even surfing gets old after a while. Mallory splashes you lightly, feigning annoyance. You know what I mean. Our anniversary always feels weird to me because it reminds me that Jay and I are more official. Mallory ponders for a moment, lost in thought. You're my soulmate, Grim, full stop. No ceremony or piece of paper could ever change that. Besides, I hate big formal events, and I know you do too. Your legs dangle idly in an ocean that suddenly feels far calmer than your mind. Hopefully there's not any big sharks or anything in there, like, you know, a megalodon. What's wrong, Grim? I'm happy in ways I never thought possible. Nothing's wrong. I feel every bit as married to you as I do to Jay. A slow smile creeps onto Mallory's face, and she reaches across to grab your hand. Do you, Grim Campbell, take this hot mess to be your spontaneously wedded wife? To love and protect, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, until death do us part. I do. And do you, Mallory Chapman, take this adrenaline junkie to be your surprise husband? To honor and obey, to keep in sickness and health, forsaking all others so long as you live? The shadow of a smirk creeps onto Mallory's beaming face. I do. But we'll negotiate the obey part over the honeymoon. Obedience has never been an issue for you in bed. And this trip can conveniently serve as a perfect honeymoon. I can't wait to spoil my bride. You're about to say something sweet when you notice Mallory is staring at you hungrily. No touchy! Under the water, Mallory's hand slips deftly into your swim trunks. This is how your bride wants to be spoiled on her honeymoon. Notes from the road. With my commitments made, I'm cheering the ladies on as they pursue their own dreams. Mallory's career as an independent journalist has taken off, as has Jay's reputation as a surgeon. As their ambitions blossom, I'm never far away in case they want my help. I actually like this path. This is kind of cool. Today, in fact, Jay and Mal caught wind of a little Uyghur girl in need of life-saving surgery. You know they're not going to let that fly. Going to the Philippines, no, Cambodia, Vietnam. Okay, so that's where the Philippines are. Man, that is a lot of little islands. Socialist Republic of Vietnam, 4 months later. And of course, we're in Lao Cai. Mallory peers apprehensively into the Vietnamese jungle as daylight begins to fade. Rambo gonna be here? I don't like this. He knows how to blend in. He'll be fine. Jay, he's over 6 feet tall and whiter than a lithium fire in southern China. Well, he's still fine. I know. If I landed him in the shit, I'll never forgive myself. Stop, he wanted to do this. Not for your stupid story, no offense. To help that little girl. I know. Suddenly, two distant gunshots ring out in the distance and echo off into the hillsides. Shit! The radio in Mallory's belt crackles to life. Miss Chapman, the APLA is scrambling choppers out of Jingzi. I'm sorry, you're on your own now. Understood, Nguyen.
I forgot what it was actually pronounced. Nguyen, something like that. I always pronounce it Nguyen, but that's not what it is.
Get your crew to safety, and thank you for everything. Wait, you may be in luck. Radar has them vectoring towards Silk Road Crossing.
Chuk my man. Mallory
lowers the radio, and both women cast haunted stares into the mist. Jay flinches as a twig snaps nearby. You emerge tired and sweaty from the jungle with a child in your arms and a bedraggled woman in tow.
Oh my God, Grim! I thought...
Not today, Satan. Not today.
You're bleeding.
Just nick me. Let's get little Goal into the tent. She's malnourished and dehydrated.
Her first, but you're next. No buts.
Jay gently takes the little girl from you and carries her into the nearby tent. She's feisty today.
Nope, she's right. To the tent with you. Now.
All right, I'm going. Border Patrol, did they follow?
No, they stayed on the PRC side.
For the first time, a hint of relief touches Mallory's face. Now that we got her out, all I can think about is how lucky we were to even get you back.
I give that about a day.
Mallory appears on the verge of a retort, but stops short.
Mal?
Holding up one finger, she sways drunkenly for a moment before rushing into a patch of brush.
I'll just go to the medical tent now.
Inside, Jay tends to the little girl while her mother snores exhaustedly nearby.
Rough run?
2/10. 2 out of 10. Would not recommend. Perfect. Because I'm never letting you pull another stunt like that again. Faintly, the sounds of a retching Mallory can be heard outside.
I don't know. Bad water?
Seriously? You know as well as I do, she only drinks that bougie bottled water out of Iceland. Suddenly, Jay's eyes go wide.
Ugh!
What the actual fuck? Do I smell that bad? Without answering, Jay rushes out of the tent, and the sounds of a retching join Mallory's. As you stand there perplexed, the little girl's eyes flutter open, and she smiles at you.
Yun.
Huh? Stirring from exhausted nap, Goal's mother looks at her daughter lovingly.
Morning sickness. I am midwife. I hear this sound every day. Both of them? You gotta be kidding me.
If they ask, just tell them I went back to let the border guards shoot me in the face. Paula Jean headquarters, Boston, Massachusetts, 5 months later. As Mallory and Jay's due dates approach, you find yourself enjoying a little you time at the office.
Uh-oh, one of them's awake before noon.
Hey, Mal, what's up? Mallory, another day, another slice of heaven as I slowly become unrecognizable in the mirror. Hold up, I see you every day. I'd say something if it was really that bad.
Oh, it's that bad, Grim.
When I went to bed last night, my belly button was an innie. I woke up and now it's an outie. I've been ugly crying since Princess Chunky rolled out of here at 9:30 in the morning on a Twinkie quest. Princess who? At least Princess Chonky doesn't snore all night like water buffalo drowning in lube. And I really wasn't gonna go there, but if your belly button has you feeling gross, wait till you see your girl parts. I'm confused. What are we talking about again, and why am I even a part of it? What the fuck is wrong with my girl parts? And thank you very much. Now I'm afraid to even check. Hey, relax, babe. Your girl stuff is fine-ish when I left this morning. Oh, so you actually examined your wife's deformed vulva on your way out? Yeah, I'm not calling it that. I mean, it's not like I performed a pelvic or something, but I glanced. So, that's like a sneaky half-look, right? Like the one you think I don't notice when you low-key gawk at Tara's tits? Wow. As long as we're all being so open about this shit, did you happen to glance at my vulva too, Grim? Why are we suddenly all calling it that? And did I sign up for group chat ambush hour and just forget? Both of my ladies are absolute smoke shows. No matter how you feel, the glow is real. The only glow I see on Mallory is reflection from the refrigerator light. You can fuck all the way off. GFC ladies, you know I'm at a board meeting, right? I'm sorry, honey, you're totally right. Pay no mind to the two miserable suffering women your turbo jizz hilariously decided to knock up on the same night. Preach. We did not just co-found the sisterhood of the traveling panties, bitch. You literally called me fat 10 seconds ago. To be fair, my camera called you fat. I'm just the messenger. She's pregnant. Oh no. Mallory. So you've chosen death. Oh yeah, she mad. Waddle all you want, but you can't hide. At least locked in the bathroom, you can finally soak up that rank moose knuckle. Are you rolling a side of beef down the stairs, or is that just your thick hippo stomping? Ouch. No one hates women more than other women. Can one of you just give me a damage report on the house so I can line up some contractors? Shit! Grim, I think she just found the spare key. Why did I just read that in a whisper? LOL, bathroom locks are easy mode for OG's foster kids, you bloated ginger walrus. You picked the wrong fucking girl for the wrong fucking fight. You merely adopted the camera. I was born to it. If you don't both fucking delete that, I'm a cut a bitch. Okay, I'm hanging up now. Annette, when the board gets back from lunch, can you let them know I had a family emergency? After the board meeting, you stop at Giga Mall to pick up some zip ties and horse tranquilizers for your car. Oh shit, I can't do this here. Hey, Grim. Off for the day soon? Yeah. Just stop by the Giga Mall to grab some sundries. Hurry home! I'm trying to copy Mom's... Mosticchioli. My God, the whole house smells amazing. The fuck are you two pranking me? Are you two pranking me right now? What do you mean? 2 hours ago, I thought I was gonna roll up on a smoking crater when I got home. And now suddenly everything's cool? Could you be a sweetheart and grab a loaf of garlic bread at Giga Mall, Grim? What the fuck? I just got back from Giga Mall. Oh, and red pepper flakes, we're almost out. Well, we have been getting a lot of pizza delivered. Yeah. Guys, the red pepper flakes, they are awesome. Just get a freaking cheese pizza and get the red pepper flakes. You'll thank me. You'll be like, oh, Grim, I got a regular, like, I don't know. They have that shakaroni pizza from Papa John's, right? It's pretty decent. I like it. But put the freaking red pepper flakes on your pizza. It is amazing. You'll be like, wow, I wish I had done this a lot sooner. I gotta do that now. I gotta go buy some fucking red pepper flakes. Even though it's gonna mess with my stomach, I still gotta do it. I really want to try cooking at home a lot more. Wait, where did the chat from earlier go? What chat? Are you feeling okay, Grim? Our sexy man is all tired out from his big day at the office. The sooner he gets home, the sooner we can pamper him. I'm straight up living in clown world right now. After dinner, let's put a movie in. Since you jumped on the board meeting grenade for your Preggers wife, we'll even let you pick. I'll be home in about 20 minutes with red pepper flakes and garlic bread. That'd be perfect timing. We can't wait. What movie are we gonna watch? You two are gonna love it. It's a classic called Gaslight. I've never heard of it. I might actually have to watch that. I can't even. I'm about one more buzz away from throwing this fucking thing in the nearest trash can. He's got about the same phone I do. Except he lives dangerously. He does not have a case on mine. I've got a super ultra case on mine. Just in case, because I drop it a lot. And I bought like a new case, but I just haven't put it on yet. I don't know why. I just never did. It would take 2 seconds, but good day, Grim. Hi, Amanda. You are uncharacteristically terse today. Is something wrong? No, it's just I'm in a hurry. Never mind. This might just end up being the least stressful text I get today. In that case, I will save the black mold discussion for tomorrow. Uh-oh. What? Question. Do you remember that one time I learned how to write master level code for smartphones? I remember you buying an ebook on the subject last night. Then yes, you remember. I feel like this conversation already has a 0% chance of a good outcome. Just hit me with it. What have you done? Funny that you should ask. I tested my new handheld device hacking skills on your potato phone first. Let me just say, your gallery is a truly inspiring repository of masturbation fuel. Wow. Oh, you were just digging through my spank bank. To be honest, I expected a much worse than a simple invasion of my personal space and property. Privacy. That is scheduled for next week. But as my guinea pig, you are entitled to a share of the spoils. including the most recent canon images of anyone on your contact list. Okay, that feels shady as fuck. And I really don't want to see Mosh, Walter, and George's junk. Indeed, George's penis, or El Jorge as he calls it, is a bell curve outlier, rendering him entirely too large for condom use. I will apply a filter, of course, suspecting your bias towards Bob's and Vagine. Saying shit like this, that is why nobody takes your war on contraction seriously. He said nonchalantly to the savant with more deferred felony indictments than birthdays. So what will it be? Remember, she had 23 felonies. So what will it be? Do you want my stash or not? Carrier override. 5G, firmware update complete. Welcome to PNET. Holy crap! She literally took over his whole cell phone network. First received 8.6 gigabytes. Huh, might have to upgrade my phone soon, Amanda. There is no Amanda, only Zool. Enjoy, Grim. I have even included a few images myself for which you have endless license to abuse in the pursuit of your self-gratification. As I plan to do with yours. She's got all of them. Everything. Noted. Shit, I hope she didn't offer my spank bank to her contact list. Peanut gallery unlocked. New Campbell residence. Years later. They're in Bellevue, Washington. Arriving home after a rare day at the office, you're happy to find your favorite ladies chatting over wine. What's good, ladies? Just having a glass of wine between random acts of sibling terrorism. The struggle is real. At least the siblings in question aren't us anymore. Are you telling me this is what it was like between you two every day? I like to think we OGs put more artistry into it. But I won't lie, some of the fuckery these two get up to is just next level. That's the closest I've heard Jade come to admitting defeat. Yeah, not buying it. She just wanted to skip out on the boring-ass board meeting. I hate that he sees right through me like that. Hopefully nothing too crazy today? Nothing shocking or newsworthy, just the same old. Oh, and Jay, that whole firebreak thing has been handled. Jay's expression shifts subtly. I don't want to hear it's been handled. I just want to hear that everyone's okay. As far as we know, everyone's okay. Oh, I can't wait to go public with this one. Come on, Grim. We've sat on this long enough. Ugh. Tap the brakes, sweetie. The time will come and you'll get the scoop. Just so you know, the depravity of your reward decreases every day you delay. As much as that kills me inside, we just can't go public yet. Mallory does her best begging face. You know how much I hate being less depraved. Or how much I hate it when she's being less depraved. Jay's comment draws a surprised reaction from the both of you. So, where are our little honey badgers anyway? Mallory looks suddenly worried. Our daughter has been awfully quiet. Too quiet. And silence out of James isn't even a good sign when he's asleep. A glance out the window confirms what you saw as you pulled into the driveway. You can relax, they're playing in the sandbox. In spite of your reassurance, Jay and Mallory get up to stare out the window pensively. You join them, putting your arm around each of your ladies, proudly. See? Neither James nor Sarah are lighting the house on fire. Without looking back at her, Mallory chuckles ironically. Yet. They remind me so much of Grim and me when we were little. Mm-hmm. As you watch your children play in the yard, a faint uneasiness creeps in as a familiar scene plays out. Oh, shit! Our grandchildren are gonna have flippers and extra toes, aren't they? Wilburton Hill Park, Bellevue, Washington, that evening. I wish you two could have been here to see me take the road less traveled. I'm sure there were easier paths, but this one is unapologetically mine. Every day is filled to the brim with all the sorts of things that matter the most to me. Maybe someday I'll write the story of how I naively ran away from home to find myself, only to find what I was searching for exactly where I left it. But let's be real. Who'd even want to read that shit? The ways your vision and intellect will someday shape the world left us some huge shoes to fill. Thankfully, you left Jay and I equipped with both the tools and the resources to do so. So far, Sophie and Amanda have managed to keep the lid on Pandora's box with our gene tech. And while I may question their methods, I can't argue with the results. You and David showed me the value of quiet strength and self-reliance. Though it was your love and wisdom that shaped the man I've become. Through the lens of parenthood, I can now see my sister and I with your eyes. And I can finally appreciate the joy we brought you and the hell that we put you through. I am humbled by the blessing of all that you've given me, and I'll do my best to pay it forward. I don't know if you can hear me up there, but if there's a way, I'm sure Mom's found it. So what I'm trying to say is that I hope you can both rest now. I'm exactly where I belong. I'm done chasing sunsets. Bring on a new sunrise. And there you have it, folks. That is Chasing Sunsets. Two roads diverging in Yellowwood, and sorry I could not travel both and beat one traveler long I stood. And looked down one as far as I could, and blah, blah. Okay, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn really about the same. And both the morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how it leads on to the way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, the words of virgin ruin. Okay, Robert Frost. You can read that poem yourself. That's probably better than, I mean, that's a little fast, guys. I'm not that fast. You've reached the fusion ending. I mean, I did like this ending. This is probably the ending I figured would work for me. It's weird, but I liked both girls, and that's how I wanted to do it. The end. The end, guys! So now you can play the game yourself. Thank you for playing. The debut of our follow-up title in 2026. Well, I mean, hopefully. The way these companies are playing. No, yeah, the credit card companies, Visa and MasterCard. So guys, if you like this game, do me a favor. Call Visa and MasterCard and tell them, hey, I don't like what you're doing. We should have the right to buy what we want with our money, with our cards. You know? Because Visa and MasterCard are the ones that are stopping you from buying games like this. Because of what? Fictional incest, I guess? Right? Not real? It's funny. They kind of make fun of it a little bit. But it's all a game. Nobody wants real incest. Nobody wants real rape. Nobody wants, you know, any of that kind of stuff. That's all fiction. Nobody wants to have somebody chop them up into pieces, but in a video game, you can, you know,
play, Dying Light or something like that? The one where the guy comes in, or Death by Dawn or something like that? Whatever it is. And anyway, the guy comes in and fucking, you know, chops you up. You have a bunch of people and you try to survive it, but sometimes you get chopped up. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's a game. I'm like, oh shit, he killed me. I've died a gruesome death. Nobody wants that in real life, right? That's the difference. That's what these stupid fucking credit card companies don't understand. You gotta call them. You know? They said they got 1,000 people to call the companies. So we get 5,000, we get 10,000, we get 50,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. Could you imagine if the credit card companies got 1,000,000 fucking calls from around the world and just said, oh my god, it's ringing off the hook and they literally can't... Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So these are all the people that made the game possible. You know, these are the people that support this stuff. And there's men and women in there. Men and women. Oh, there's Drifty. You know Drifty Games? There's men and women that support these games. Quinn, that's a woman. That's a woman that says, I don't care that the story has this stuff in it. I like it. I thought it was a great story. I love reading it. There's probably more. I mean, I can point out, you know, the women in it. Let's see. Like, I'm sure there's a lot. Wow. A lot of people. Like I said, there's a lot of people. I really enjoyed this. This is one of the best AVNs I've ever read in my life. I really, really enjoyed this story. Made with all that. Jody, Mal, and our families. Oh, and Run P. Tom actually did something. He said, hey, I'm going to try to keep these games going. Because Run P. Tom, the guy that created the software that these games are running on, literally said, I built this without censorship because I believed in free speech. Okay? This is free speech. UK right now, they don't have it. You guys seeing me on BitChute? UK doesn't have it. We're in the dystopia right fucking now. Like, they don't want you to play this game. They don't want you to see this game. They don't want you to acknowledge this game exists. And you don't even know who these people are. You don't even know who they are. Right? They just think they know what's best for you, right? That's the problem. I'm not showing you guys the peanut gallery, so don't ask. That's a private thing. You need to pay for the game, support the game, keep this stuff coming, go on the Patreon. Yes, you can still get this on Steam. So... buy these games, man. Buy them, support them, and call your freaking credit card companies, Visa and MasterCard. Tell them, look, hey, I like this content. I buy this content willingly with my own money, and you shouldn't tell me what to do with it. This is my money that I've worked for. If anything, it's just, why don't they just create a new card that literally does all this? I could see that if millions of people said, what about a criminal card or stuff? It's like, I don't know, the adult card, the X card. I'd get one. And you should be able to put your own custom waifus on an X card. Like, if you get an X card or whatever, it's literally got like a, like, people know that you're a degenerate. It's like, I don't know, it could be a thing. It's a black card, you know? It's like, I use the X card. Because I'm a fucking degenerate. Now, okay, honestly, Musk said he was doing, like, X payments. So that might be a thing. But Musk would fucking support this shit. So,
I mean, look, I know y'all don't like the guy, but if the guy's got an option that we can use it and it actually makes it where we can buy this kind of stuff and not have our credit card companies lose their mind and Exodus Shout and Exodus Cry, Collective Shout, and the Morality and Media, don't care what they call themselves now, they're always Morality and Media, that's who they are. You're not the national anything, you're just Morality and Media, that's all you'll ever be. A bunch of religious people that think you own something. You don't. You don't own shit. If you're, like, literally, if like, I'd even do this, I'd challenge him in court. I said, get God here right now to defend this. And the judge will be like, God. Yes, God himself. I'm that guy. And it's like, I'm not crazy. I'm not insane. I'm 100% serious. If this is against God, then God himself can come down here and defend it. He can tell us why. That's what I'm saying. And they're like, we can't get God. Well, until you can get God, you have no argument. If you can get God to literally come down off his throne, you know, assuming that's how it works, come down off his throne and say, I don't agree with this kind of content, then that's fine. And I don't mean some guy that speaks for God. I mean the actual, we can't even look at him in the face God. That one. That's the one we're talking about. It's like, and they're like, that's literally my thing. That's my thing. If I'll say this once and I'll say it again. If God had a problem with this content, if God was against this content, he would literally come down and ban it himself. That's what I'm saying. Because this content has been around for a very long time, guys. And God has let a lot of things that are horrible atrocities go on. Just horrible atrocities. People getting nuked. People getting genocided, murdered, raped, everything. Okay? So, if God has a problem with Chasing Sunsets or any of these other games, he can come down and defend it himself. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's so hard to ask. Bring him down here. Let him defend it. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time with more great AVNs, assuming our dystopian powers that be allow me to do so. I'm out.